Now, one of the most effective campaigns that you did was the Brain campaign. And what was its genesis?
It came from a brief to address the problem of young males not being as dissuaded from drinking by random breath testing in the country as young males in metropolitan areas are, simply because in the country there was a belief that, you know, random breath testing wasn't then as potent a deterrent.
Rosemary Russ adds,
We knew that people were switching off in terms of public education campaigns around being caught by policemen. And we wanted to try a new approach, a more rational approach rather than a fear-based approach. And we knew because of our research that young men pride themselves on their driving skills and that we could approach an anti-drinking message through presenting in a physiological way the impact of alcohol on the brain.
We set about making that commercial, and the idea was that we have a bunch of ordinary blokes playing pool, you know, which requires skills and a situation that every young bloke could relate to. But we simply remove the tops of their heads and let them see what's going on to their brains when they have a drink.
One of the key statements in the campaign was 5 minutes after your first drink, alcohol enters your brain. And in the research, that worked really, really well. A lot of people said, oh, that'd be right, because that first beer after a big day at work when you go to the pub, it's the best one. You feel so good after you drink that. So it validated that statement that, yeah, alcohol has entered your brain. You keep on drinking, it keeps on entering your brain, and then you have problems when you drive.
In 2006, another very effective advertising campaign, the Paranoia campaign, took the drink drive message to yet another dimension.
Although the brain and the microsleep campaigns were educational, we incorporated the social marketing aspect into them as well. We weren't just delivering an authoritarian message. With Paranoia, one of the things that we discovered through the research was in country areas in particular, the threat of RBT had diminished enormously. Country folk believed that if police were on the roads in their town, they would know where they were and they could just avoid it. So one of the things that we needed was to reinforce that not only that there is a big chance of you getting caught if you do drink and drive, but you shouldn't be doing it either because it's not socially acceptable. With this campaign, a guy walks out of the hotel. He's not staggering, but he's had a few drinks. And how do we know that? Because he sees the security guard and he thinks it's a policeman. It's a paranoia component coming out that, oh, yeah, I'm heading towards my car. And even when he gets in his car, someone taps on his window and he thinks that it's a policeman going to breathalyze him, but it's a mate of his talk and say, I'll see you later. And then as he's driving, everywhere he goes, he's believing that he's going to see a policeman, but doesn't. A taxi is behind him. He thinks it's a police car, but no, it's not. And then in the last breath, he does get pulled over by a police car. So he knew he was doing something wrong. That's why he was paranoid. And he does get caught, and that's because every police car is a mobile RBT. And no one should feel sorry for him because what he was doing was deliberate and illegal.